Amen. Chapter 32, The Arrogance of Stupid 2023. You know what? John was a part of a group we used to call Bad Boy Club, the BBC. They were the worst of the worst, right? And they were forced by me to show up at a night meeting where we would watch my daughter play rock and roll. And actually, I was going actually to protect my daughter. I always thought that at least if I was there, if something got out of hand, I would be there to help her in those times. It was always concerning to me as I watched her in these bars in Los Angeles, and we'd all go. And after that, we would have a lesson of one of these chapters, right? Well, you know, like everything else in life, the people who really want to sustain, there's only two of those nine people left. Two of them. That was way 10 years ago, maybe. Yeah, 10? Oh, wow. Or more. 10 or more years ago. And we would go to this restaurant afterwards. It was a blast. And we'd all get home about 3 or 4 in the morning, right? And we'd have to go to work at, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning. So every Tuesday night, Monday night or Tuesday night, I can't remember which, we'd do this thing. And it got to be a deal. The Arrogance of Stupid outlines that because there's only two of them left. And I have talked to all the rest of them, seven of them, over the years, who quit, thumb their nose at the whole thing. You know, like, I can't change the way I teach. These are my experiences. This is what I share with people, and this is what has helped people throughout 30-plus years, right? Well, each one of those people, I can only tell you the facts. They have said, wow, we should have stayed the course. We should have stayed the course. Well, two of them did. They're on this phone right now. And they're killing it. Killing it. Now, do they still have complaints? Why, of course, we're human beings. But in the complaints, they have solutions. Isn't that great? And those two that are still here, we talk a lot. John is one of them. And, you know, I try to stay anonymous, so I won't mention Gary being the other one. So, Gary, don't worry, I won't say your name. Okay, Gary? Okay. So, here they are. Yeah, of course, like to stay anonymous. And we would eat and enjoy these lessons, and they stayed. They stayed. And I can only tell you what the facts are, you know, and it's like the Bible. I didn't write it. I can just tell you what it said. It's like my testimony. I can only tell you what happened to me. I can't dispute it or argue it. This is what happened to me. In chapter 32, The Arrogance of Stupid, whoo, that was hard for me. For me. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm telling you, the arrogance of stupid, when I realized what I am capable of, holy guacamole. Am I right? Holy guacamole. The chaos that I can cause, oh my. Chapter 32, The Arrogance of Stupid 2023. We try stuff. We try it, and we make mistakes. But when it doesn't work, the measure of a person is how fast you get off of it. I try to remember that. How fast you get off of it, man. We're all born ignorant. A quote by Benjamin Franklin. We are all born ignorant, but one must work hard to remain stupid. Ah, that's great. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Nothing in all the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity." Oh, wow, is that killing it, right? Why didn't somebody teach me this before I, you know, wasted how much time, right? When I behave properly, things make sense. They may be inconvenient, but I push through. Even when perhaps my decisions aren't popular, challenges are real, and they got to be dealt with in a sober, clear mind and hopefully in counsel with God. Stupid gets in the way on a regular basis, and it's got to be dealt with. I got to deal with it. When faced with stupid, the best scenario is to catch it quick. Stand down. Get away from it. Get back on track. But the arrogance of stupid doesn't allow for that. Arrogance of stupid. People, you and I can and will fight for our right to be stupid. And it will cause long-term problems. Having said that, I do know that you will be tested. All of us, you'll be tested. Mute your phones if you're out there. If you're new, especially, you have to mute your phone so it doesn't get on the recording. People, you and I This fighting for the right to be stupid, it's insane. We fight for our right to be stupid. Having said that, we must be, you got to be tested, right? You got to be tested. You can't have what we all been given and ask for more and then not pass the test for correct thinking. God will teach you and try you so you know the difference of what works and what doesn't. Job 23:10, but he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. We all hope for that in ourselves and each other. Let's get clear on the things that continue to dog me, all of us. Entitlement. It's a form of stupid.
I believe that I deserve.
Is generally not a good way to start a sentence or your day. I try to avoid believing I'm owed anything. I'd rather base decisions on what needs to be done. Correctly, efficiently, and for what is right. There is God, and you are not God. So don't act like it. Don't be foolish with power and authority. I got four principles in the Reddit Court, but today I'm just talking about, I have one involved in here in this teaching, Reddit Corporation Principle number two. There's four of them, but number two is really important. Always supportive, slightly detached, and always equal.
Well, that sounds pretty impressive.
Well, it is if you can do it, but it's pretty hard, especially when you get mad. Always supportive, slightly detached, and always equal. Be a problem solver. Always supportive, a problem solver, not a maker of chaos, right? Slightly detached, so that when people are not at their best, which happens all the time, their words don't break your heart. You got to be far enough away from it that you can still make an honorable decision without your feelings getting in the way. And always equal, not above or below anyone. We're all equal to our fellows and in the eyes of God, right? Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. I have this thing I also, there's a lot of teaching in here from Reddit Corp, 3Ds, a lot of teaching from the Reddit Corporation here. I have to help people lead, teach, and inspire. And things get in the way, man. They get in the way. You know, and well, good people, things get in the way because the test is too hard sometimes, it would seem. But in God, it's not. I promise you that. So as I go into the 3Ds, I promise you God can help. I promise. He did me. And if he did me, he will you. I'm not half as good as most of you, okay? 3Ds. You like that I said most? It's great. Like, it's probably Gary, right? Okay, I don't know why it's Gary today. Okay, 3Ds, dissension, division, and deliverance. What exactly happens in the arrogance of stupid? Oh, it's awful. The enemy causes dissension first in the troops. You don't like he, and I don't like you, and you don't like me, and I'm sick of you. And that causes division. People are like, well, I don't like you either. It's awful. And it's usually with the most important people in your life, right? The only hope I have in this situation is prayer. But I had to learn that too. Because in prayer, there is deliverance from God. The 3Ds, dissension, division, and deliverance. You see, after I mess it all up, I need God to deliver me from it and everybody else. I got to pray for everybody else. But I had to learn all that stuff, right? In his power and mercy, he gets me through my bad choices and the consequences. Stupid interrupts good things, interrupts everybody, good relationships, everywhere. However, having said that about prayer and deliverance, I must say, at times, he will allow me to enjoy the consequences of my actions. Not fun. Okay? Not fun. I deal with human nature every day, mine included. People who are in trouble simply want to get out of trouble. That's all there is to it. People generally are not interested in changing anything. Maybe in the short term to stop the madness, but forever? Oh, who wants to make that change? You know, what was that Michael Jackson song? Make that change. Yeah, well, he didn't. Maybe in the short term, but to stop the madness, but forever? Nobody wants to make that change. This ultimately means that the original set of problems will be repeated. Arrogance, indignant, and entitlement plague most CEOs and the world for that matter. Shown the correct way, people resist it. Shown the correct way, people resist it. Well, I didn't sign up for that. I ain't doing it. You know? The unfortunate end is negligence, immaturity, indignation, and the worst, a lost destiny, yours. Proverbs 18:3, when wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes reproach. Behavior is the only reason cash flow is positive or negative. No, it's not. It's the economy. No, it's not. It's you. No, it's not. It's the economy. No, it's not. It's you. No, it's not. It's the economy. You see, you can't argue with stupid. Well, that's not stupid. Well, it is stupid because you're spending money. No, it's not stupid. You can't argue with it. As a CEO, we are able to employ and deploy any method we see fit for spending corporate and personal funds. We also have the option to ledger financials correctly or not. We can lie. We can lie. As captured by the 19th century British politician Lord Acton, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Without correct checks and balances, all people go astray. King Solomon, man, myth, the legend, reigning over Israel during the times of circa 970 to 931 BC, is quoted in many scripts as saying, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Good words to remember. Transversely, winners believe in good conversation. They want it. They yearn for it. Discover relevant relationships. Employ new ideas. Apologize. Ooh, that's a tough word. For problems caused, and ultimately wisdom will prevail in situations like that. Do I want to do that now in my life? I want to. I don't want to be stupid. I don't have to sit on my hands. I'm trying not to be stupid. I'm trying. Thanks to the grace and goodness of this program, I haven't been stupid for 30 days. Pat, would you come up here and get a chip for stupid? Not stupid for 30 days. And then, oh, sorry, I slipped yesterday. Now I'm back to a newcomer. Come on. Behavior is the key to change. One must provoke the mind and rise above an emotional state. Simply put, a bad attitude derives pleasure from engaging itself and feels quite superior in doing so. Till, of course, your luck runs out. Yeah, you feel pretty good about putting down the boss and putting down the powers that be and, you know, raging against the machine, as the band used to have a great title. Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. A rebel without a cause is stupid. But we are rebels. You know, I've heard Rick say it many times. Everybody that's going to heaven, most of them are there. We are the remnant. We are the rebel. We are the rebel forces left on earth. And when we're gone, all hell will break loose. Now, that's a whole other teaching, right? So right now, we got to stick to what we got going on in front of us. Chapter 32, the arrogance of stupid. So how to combat our selfish, indignant nature? Well, mankind has tried to do that, right? It's tried for a few times. Without God, of course. I'm going to mention some names you won't know. Why? You should. We all should, but we don't. We don't. Great men. A movement in Europe during the years between 1685 and 1730 outlined just such a question: how to combat our selfish, indignant nature. Appropriately titled The Age of Reason, or Enlightenment, you may have heard of that. Entire Europe questioned traditional authority and embraced the notion that humanity could be improved through rational change. Rational. Boy, that describes human nature, doesn't it? No. The Enlightenment produced numerous books. The Enlightenment movement, it produced a lot of print, essays, inventions, scientific discoveries, laws, wars, and revolutions. A lot of stuff, man, without God in it. Can you imagine how good it would have been without God? Because in a minute, I'm going to tell you, it didn't work. The American and French revolutions were directly inspired by Enlightenment ideals. Revolutions, and it respectively marked the peak of influence and, at the same time, the beginning of its decline. Why decline? Like I said, it didn't work. None of it. People went right back to their old intolerant and easy ways of doing things. if you can call it easy, wrong ways are not easy. Accountability seems to be so much trouble, doesn't it? Until you get in trouble. It would have been a lot easier just to do it right. You've heard that saying before. It's just better to do it right. There's never enough time to do it right. So you do it wrong, and then you got to take double the time to do it, redo it. It's crazy. We do it all the time, right? Accountability seems so much trouble. So, of course, we instead employ stupid. You see, I learned that common sense is not so common, and stupid is terribly expensive. Terribly. Companies and families alike suffer an incredulous life at the hands of stupid decisions. Enlightenment, as I was talking about, important 17th century precursors. Listen to these names. You might know them, but I doubt it. Great men. Francis Bacon, Thomas Hobbes, René Descartes, and the key natural philosophers of the scientific revolution, Galileo, Kepler, Leibniz. Its roots are traced to the 1680s in England, where in the span of 3 years, Isaac Newton published Principia Mathematica, 1686, John Locke, his essay concerning human understanding, 1689, two works that provided scientific, mathematical, and philosophical toolkit for the Enlightenment's major advances. It didn't work. Didn't work either. None of it. All written by brilliant men. Didn't change the world at all. Matter of fact, there's hardly any memory of it, if there is any memory at all. We, as a people, simply don't care to read such great books. We don't have time. Nor will we benefit from any of the excellent writings in those books. There was a lot of excellent writing in there. I'm not saying it didn't work. It wasn't good. It didn't work. There wasn't any God in it. When I realized that, when I looked at these books and I realized the problem is there wasn't any God in it. Why? Because as a human race, we seem to have a problem remembering the past. So what's the point? Learning is the point. For me and you, learning, retaining what has been learned and not repeating stupid in the chronic name of arrogance and madness. I got to set down the know-it-all thinking.
I've been there, done it, I know everything.
How do I do that? I accept the fact that my very best thinking gets me into trouble. How can I do better than my best then?
Well, there you go.
How do you do better than your best?
Well, there you go. Always asking the overachiever question.
A really important question. I cannot do better than my best. It is not capable. I am not capable of doing better than my best without God. I can only do my best in myself. With God, I can do better than myself. No amount of information without God sticks in my head. I'm just telling you about me, man. You might say I'm different. Well, be careful before you say that, okay? Be careful of those things. You can't fight with stupid even when you're fighting with yourself, your own stupid. I can't. And I don't want to be stupid, and it's hard for me to fight stupid. Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It doesn't say, hey, you know, go out there and make a killing and then come back and read the book and you'll get to keep it. It says, then. It says, read. You can't lead if you don't read. Resist the need to be right, especially when you could be absolutely wrong. Learn the difference between wasting time and efficient time, relevant and irrelevant. Between wasting time, efficient time, relevant and irrelevant. Learn it. Take a moment to ask a question. Clarify, understand, perhaps engage a conversation. Otherwise, if I don't do these things, get this. Now, I know I made this up and I think it's, you know, really brilliant. It might be. It's brilliant to me. It helps me. What's my name if I don't do all this? What do I call myself if I don't do all this? If I don't pay attention to the arrogance of stupid, what's my name? Come on, think about it for a second. Without knowledge, competent, clear knowledge, my name is what? My name might as well be what? Without competent, clear knowledge, what's my name? Ignorant. Oh, that doesn't sound like... What's my short for that? Iggy? Igno? Without knowledge, competent, clear knowledge, and control of myself, without God in my life, what am I? I'm ignorant. The world has become a mess being ignorant of God, it would seem to me. It would seem to me that all these problems that we have could be solved if everybody would stop it and look at what I'm talking about today. But they're not going to do that. The world is crazy and it's getting crazier. But with a name like ignorant, the world will deal with me harshly. The world will deal with me harshly. And I will fail my children, God, and all that is good in my life. If taken down by this monster, I've fallen away from wisdom and knowledge and God. I've become part of the ranks of wasted talent. The world will forget me. I will forget me. I join a short list of losers of the world. Why is it short? You'd think it'd be long. No, it's short. You know why? Because nobody even bothers to write down the names of those stubborn individuals that will not yield to common sense. Please hear me, my friends. Fight against mediocrity and yourself. Revolt against yourself and evolve. Revolution, evolution. Revolution, evolution. I teach it all the time. Heaven and earth look for one thing and one thing only. A leader. A leader. Luke 12:48. But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with a few blows. Well, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. To those who are given much, much is required. Much is required, you know? Much is required. Some people ask me, why does it matter what the world thinks of me? Why does it matter? I say this, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Some people ask me, why does it matter what the world thinks of me? Well, it's a good question. To those who are given much, much is required. So if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. There's no honor in that. We remember the apostles and the prophets for the great things they did with God here on this earth. We remember them for things they did. They did. You get it? They did. More will be required. We're not of this earth, but when you're here, stand for something or you'll fall for anything. So if you're going to fall, stand for Jesus. I had to learn this stuff and it was really hard. It hurt me to learn this stuff. It hurt me. But it's my testimony. So when people argue, I'm like, I know. I understand what comes against this. And now my testimony is, however, I have helped many people and I might be able to help you. There's a story in the book of Isaiah 35. It's kind of a cool story. I mean, it's one of the odd ones that when I read it, I'm like, wow, that sounds so cool. I wish it could be true. Well, it is true. And I'm going to tell you why I think it's true. Isaiah is a prophet and he tells this great prophecy of the end of the world. And as it talks about it, he describes a highway of holiness, right? Highway of holiness. That's pretty cool in and of itself. It's a safe place for believers. A road lifted high above the ground, the highest engineering feat ever accomplished. A road that made a way from sin to holiness. A road over the mountains of our own stupid. Scripture says, whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. What did that mean? I had to check that out for a while, although a fool. Well, it describes me and you. But as believers in Jesus, it describes me. We're foolish, right? Until God works on us. As believers in Jesus, the Messiah is for all those in Christ, all those God is still working on. So even though we're foolish and we can look in the mirror and the enemy tells you you're just a fool, yes, all that's true, but we are God's. We belong to God. On this highway, there is guardrails on dangerous curves. He keeps us from falling off as he develops the wisdom and maturity in us that will also keep us on the highway that is above our sin and iniquity, above the devil, away from bad. Well, I want to stay on that highway. In Isaiah 35, 9, it says, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Holy guacamole, Daddy-O. Is that like about the coolest? Is that about the coolest? No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Does that sound so cool? The devil is not on this highway, nor anything that can harm the believer. As this prophecy continues, the passenger on the road. Now I know, I'm going to tell you about prophecy in a minute. The passenger on the road arrives where God lives, happy. This guy that's walking on there, this believer, he arrives where God lives, happy, singing praises to the Lord. The blind can see, the deaf hear, weak and crippled healed. God will wipe away every tear, Scripture says, Revelations 21, 4. No more death, sorrow, or crying. No pain, the former things have passed away. There is a catch. Of course there is. There is a catch. This highway isn't for everyone. It has a toll booth. Woo! But you can't make it on this highway by paying your way. You are only allowed on this highway if you are cleansed by the great work of the Messiah. Scripture goes on to say in Isaiah, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Those others is you, buddy, believers in Jesus. This amazing, amazing prophecy outlines the miraculous power of Jesus that comes to me and you, heals and provides for me and you. And the blessing even more amazing, that is our walk to salvation with God. And stupid thinking keeps us from all of it. By the way, I got to talk about prophecy for just a second. We're about done. About over with here. Do you believe in such prophecy? Do you believe in such a story, the highway of holiness? Or do you think it's just a story in the Bible like people say, oh, those are just little ditties that people came up with so you kind of get the idea. That's all nutsiness for me. As far as the Bible goes, I got to believe all of it or none of it. I got to believe all of it or none of it. And I believe all of it. And the more I believe it, the better I am. I'm just telling you what happens to me. So what do I think about prophecy? Well, I studied that. I had to go back and take a look at it. I asked the same question. Do I believe in prophecy or is it just stories? Huh? And I studied for the answer. Here it is. There's about 2,500 prophecies in the pages of the Bible. And about 2,000 of them have already been fulfilled to the letter. No errors. Prophets, guided by the Lord, wrote down prophecies, the future, and it happened exactly as the prophet said. Now there's 500 left, and they reach into the future. 500 prophecies left in that book, and they kind of reach into the future, and perhaps we will see that, maybe I see it right now unfolding as the days go by, just like this one, the highway of holiness. How do I know? Well, let me give you a number. The odds for all these 2,000 prophecies, they've all been fulfilled to the letter without error. The chances of that happening is 10 to the 2,000th power. 10 to the 2,000th power. That's one with 2,000 zeros written after it. And in Deuteronomy, God has an acid test for identifying a prophet, like if he's real or not. Like if he can prophesize, it's a pretty big statement, right? You know what God says about it? The litmus test for a prophet is 100% accuracy in predictions. 100%. That's a pretty big statement. And it's come to pass time after time. Look, bad times are here and worse are coming. It looks like worse are coming for the world. Scripture says it's coming. But you're okay. I'm okay. Today we have a list. Thank you, Jesus. Pay attention to the fact that you're okay and you got a list. Do the list. Pay attention to what you're doing and why you're doing it. Chapter 32, the arrogance of stupid. Why are you doing it? You're doing it for the good, to be an example of hope to other people. Not of arrogance and stupid, but of hope. Living correctly. At least that's what I got to do. I've outlined in this chapter not paying attention and failing at the responsibility of what is at hand. Kids, Leave stupid alone. Stay alert. Leave no room for shenanigans. You know, when you're busy, you don't have time to goof off. A hard lesson for me, I got to tell you that. It's a hard lesson for me, for sure, for a long, long time. And it cost me and everyone around me. It cost me. Stupid cost me and everyone around me, including my children. Listen to me, kids. Chapter 32, The Arrogance of Stupid. Listen to me. Listen to me. Philippians 4:8. What do you do instead of stupid? Well, here's an idea. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, doesn't that sound a lot cooler than the arrogance of stupid? Chapter 32, The Arrogance of Stupid. Here we are, 2023. Amen, amen. My buddy, let's get these people back to work.